You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
I'm super excited to be able to continue our series that we've been going through over the summer called Buzzer Beater. If you've been around, or if you haven't, we have been walking through the book of Proverbs and learning how to make the right call at the right time through God's wisdom. We've talked about gossip, pride, anger, self-control, and so much more. And throughout all that, we have also connected it back to sports and what it looks like to be a teammate and a follower of Christ who makes wise decisions when it matters most. And this week is no different. The title of this message, if you look at your note sheet, is called Playing with Heart. And the overarching idea is that playing with heart doesn't mean following your feelings. It means guarding your heart so it follows God. But before we dive into that and what it means and unpack it, and before we move to the next slide that there is, I actually called my mom a couple weeks back and asked her to dig through this shoebox that I have up at her house in Washington, and it's full of a bunch of like different things. From high school, and one of those things is actually a photo of my basketball team, which we can show that if it's there. So yeah, that is my basketball team, and I want to state the obvious, we are very pale, like Twilight character pale, and my eyes are closed. So that's just amazing, but that's what you get when you live in Seattle and basketball season is the dead of winter. But anyways, I digress. This is, like I said, my team photo for when I did basketball. I think it was, I want to say my freshman year of high school. Yeah, 2016. So I was a freshman in high school, like some of you guys, when this photo was taken. And I wanted to show it to you guys today because I wanted to be like, guys, I know ball. Sorry, I thought that was going to be really funny. Thank you, guys. Thank you. But I really appreciate the game, and I really appreciate what it taught me. And when I played basketball, I actually was not the best player. I wasn't then, I'm not now, and I'm never going to be, and that's like more than okay. I have absolutely no desire now to be the best basketball player, but back in 2016, that was quite the opposite. That's kind of all I wanted to be. And within the team, I would compare myself to the other girls. I'd watch the other girls get praises from our coaches, and in the midst of that, I would think, I can do that. Like, why am I not getting praised? And when I got the chance to do what they did, I'd overthink everything, and I'd completely fumble. So, has that happened to anybody? You think you can do something really well, and then when you actually try to do it, you, like, completely just cannot do it. Yeah, a couple hands. Okay. I think it happens to all of us every once in a while, and that's okay. I actually remember a time very vividly when it was during a game pretty early on, and I had, like, the best, like, clearest shot to get a three-pointer. And I was like, oh, I can finally prove to my coaches I'm just like the other girls, like, I can do this. And that's when my overthinking started, and that's when I got anxious. And then all of a sudden, that wide-open shot was the other team kind of towering over me. And I feel like I'm kind of tall, so the fact that they were even taller was a bit intimidating. But all this is to say that basketball taught me something about my own heart, which is sometimes the biggest opponent isn't the other team. Sometimes it's what's happening inside of your own heart, which brings us to our first point. Envy leaves our hearts unguarded and leads to resentment, bitterness, and a lack of peace. First, to define what envy is, it's when we want something or when we deeply desire what somebody else has. Maybe that's athletic ability, popularity, appearance, grades, friends, opportunities. It's, at its core, it's whispering, if only I had what they had, then I'd finally be enough. And that alone immediately shifts our eyes off of God. And we see this in Luke 15, which is about the parable of the lost son. Most people think of this story of the lost son and think it's just about the younger brother. But there's another brother in this story, the older one. And after the younger brother has gone and wasted everything and comes back home, the father welcomes him back with open arms. And instead of celebrating, the older brother became angry, which brings us to the end of this story in Luke 15, verses 28 through 30, which says, "The older brother becomes angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered, 'Father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. You never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.'" We see that the youngest son sinned against his father, left home, wasted everything, while the older brother stayed and stayed faithful and tended to his father's farm. Between these two sons, which one do you think is the most miserable? If you are thinking the older brother, you're correct. It's because he stopped looking at his father's goodness and he started looking sideways. See, comparison made him miss the party. He had everything his father offered, but envy kept him standing outside. Envy doesn't stay small. It grows into bitterness and steals our peace. And if left unchecked, it can even lead to jealousy. Which brings us to our second point. Jealousy leaves us insecure, leads to fear, control, and lack of trust in God. And to define jealousy, it's when we become afraid that someone else might take away what you want or what you already have. See, envy says, "I wish I had what they have." But jealousy says, "I'm afraid they're going to take what I want or what I have." For example, this could be things like your spot on a team, your friends, your reputation, and so on. And we see this play out in Genesis 4, verses 2 through 8, which is about a story about two brothers, Cain and Abel. I'm going to start a little bit in the second verse. It says, "Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some fruits from the soil as an offering to the Lord, and Abel also brought offerings, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked in favor on Abel and his offerings, but on Cain and his offerings, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do what is not right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it.'" Which, guys, God literally warned Cain. He told him, "You don't have to let this control you." And the passage continues to say, "Now Cain said to his brother Abel, Let's go out to the field.' While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him." Cain wasn't just upset. He became consumed. And God literally warned him in verse 7 when he said, "Sin is crouching at your door." Just like in basketball, every game has a shot clock. Every game has a shot clock, and every temptation does as well. Cain had a moment where he could choose what to do with what was happening to his heart. But instead, jealousy became murder. Sin always starts in the heart long before it reaches our hands. And the Bible continues to say this in Proverbs 14, verse 30. Let me find it. One second. Okay. It says, "A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones."
And I really want us to hone in on the first part of that verse where it says, a heart at peace gives life. What kind of heart do you think God wants for us? A peaceful heart. God desires for us to have a peaceful heart, and peace doesn't come from getting everything we want. Peace comes from trusting the one who holds everything. And this isn't just something we see in the Bible. We see this even play out in sports. Now, I have a picture of two incredible players, two champions, Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal. They are amazing basketball players. But actually, back before I think any of you guys were born, in 2003 and 2004, the Lakers had what should have been one of the greatest teams ever assembled together. Kobe and Shaq had already won three NBA championships. But during this particular season, their relationship really started to fall apart. There were constant reports of tension, public comments made in the media, disagreement over leadership, and each of them wanted to prove that they were the reason that the Lakers were successful. But instead of playing together, there was this underlying desire to prove that they were the one that made the team great. Eventually, that rivalry became bigger than basketball. Now, the Lakers still made it to the NBA Finals that year, but they lost. And after that season, Shaquille O'Neal got traded, and one of the greatest duos in NBA history had parted ways and come to an end. Now, was every problem rooted because of jealousy or pride? No. Relationships are a lot more complicated than that. But here is what we do know. When our desire to prove ourselves becomes greater than our desire to love and serve others, everybody loses. The good news is, Scripture doesn't just diagnose that problem, it gives us the cure. The remedy for envy and jealousy is love and humility, which is our next point. Love celebrates others, and humility remembers that every good gift comes from God. One of the quickest ways to fight envy is to intentionally celebrate the people around us instead of comparing ourselves to them and bringing them down. In Proverbs 24:17, it says, it says, do not gloat when an enemy fails or falls. When they stumble, do not let your heart rejoice. Have you ever been secretly happy when somebody failed? If we're honest, that's something that happens to a lot of us, and that is envy exposing itself. See, love grieves the loss, whereas envy celebrates it. So maybe you're wondering, how do we actually stop this? Well, it starts in your heart, and we're starting to circle around to this idea of playing with heart, which brings us to our next point. Before you follow your heart, you must inform your heart. This part might get a little confusing, but track with me. Our culture says to follow your heart, but the Bible says something different. In Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. The heart is deceitful. So if my heart is deceitful, why would I follow it? Well, have your feelings ever lied to you? You feel like God has forgotten you, or you feel worthless or alone. I can confidently tell you that while yes, your feelings are real and valid, they are just not always reliable. Like those examples, we also know the truth is that God has never and will never forget you. You are more worthy than you'll ever imagine. And through God, through your church family, whether it's here at HSM or somewhere else, you are never alone. In Romans 6:17, it says, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching and that has now claimed your alliance. Without Jesus, our hearts naturally chase sin. When we put our faith in Jesus, he gives us a new heart and new desires. But until we're with him in heaven, we will still battle our old sinful nature every day, which is why before you can lead, your heart can lead you, God's word has to teach you. Which brings us to our fourth point. Scripture does not say to solely follow your heart, but rather to guard your heart because everything flows through this. And it says that in Proverbs 4:23-27, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows through it. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. And give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. So we know everything flows from your heart. Your words, your choices, your relationships, your identity, school, sports, the list can go on. Not just in basketball, but really any sport, coaches don't teach you only offense. They teach you defense. They do this because if you can't defend well, then you'll lose the game. Proverbs says that our spiritual defense is guarding your heart. And to guard your heart, we must fear the Lord, worship the Lord, and follow the Lord, which are our next fill-ins. To guard your heart, we must fear the Lord, worship the Lord, and follow the Lord. Because whatever captures your heart controls your life. I'll say that again. What captures your heart controls your life. And maybe for you, guarding your heart starts with opening your Bible this week. And if that's the case, as a ministry, we've been going through the book of Proverbs through the summer, and it's never too late to jump in. We have a summer reading plan that's available for you out in the lobby, or if you come see me or Bo after life groups or one of your life group leaders, we can do that for you, and it's an amazing resource. But maybe it starts by praying honestly for the first time in a while. Through prayer, not only does that guard your heart, but it also grows our relationship with the Lord, which He so deeply desires. Whether that's praying out loud, or writing your prayers down, or just praying in your head, God simply just wants to hear from you. And last but certainly not least, we can guard our hearts by being in community with other Christ followers and being surrounded by people who desire to know the Lord. So maybe that looks like letting somebody in your life and in your life group about what you're struggling with, or coming to church on Sundays, or continuing to come to HSM on Wednesdays. There are so many ways to immerse yourself into Christ-centered community that the Lord calls us to do, and it's just another tool that we can use to continue to guard our hearts. And I'm going to leave you with this last question and then just one more thing. But the question is, what has your heart been chasing lately? Is it approval, popularity, recognition, success, or do you deeply desire your life to be like somebody else's? Jesus isn't asking you to pretend that comparison doesn't exist. He's inviting you into something better, and that's a secure heart in Him. Because when your identity is rooted in Christ, someone else's success can no longer threaten yours. You can celebrate them, you can trust in God, and you can have peace. And the bottom line is, a guarded heart doesn't follow feelings, it follows Jesus.